Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talebi, and joining me to take your questions this evening are Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth and independent analyst Chris Gilmore. If you'd like to send us questions, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Chris, Nick, good to see you there this evening. Nick, if I may start with you, a good beginning of for the quarter. Long may this continue. Do you think this is a bit of a relief recovery from all the selling of that has characterized the last 9 months of the year?
Yeah, evening, Juliet. Evening, Chris. It's look, one swallow, as the saying goes, doesn't make a summer, but we'll take it. I'm not sure. You know, it wasn't looking this good when we walked in. I mean, everyone, there's been rumors of a Credit Suisse and a large financial institution failing. Given the S&P futures this morning, it didn't feel so great. But sort of reversed it. I think some bottom pickers coming in. Obviously, the reversal of what happened in the UK with the government and reversing the upper tax bracket and a few other things. Positive PMI number out of the States as well. And bearing in mind, we are sort of a week or two ahead of just in front of that earnings season. So a little bit of positioning, I think. And yeah, coming up, as you said, a torrid quarter. Definitely someone that's a bit of bottom picking and felt that way anyway. But otherwise, decent day.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to some of the sort of the component parts of the day and some of the trading updates that came out. But Chris, seeing that we're talking about the UK, we may as well focus on you. I think I thought you were rather uncharitable when you said Liz Truss was a disaster, but maybe you were just being quite nice, as it turns out, given what's happened. So there's a U-turn, essentially, on that great tax cut plan. And I guess they're going to have to present some new form of mini budget in the coming days. Was it enough to assuage markets, the fact that they're not going ahead with it?
Juliet, I think briefly it will. But, you know, longer term, as I said the other day, the Liz Truss, you know, two more brain cells and she'd be a plant. I mean, really, she's unbelievably stupid is the only way I can characterize her. I watched a former Tory, a guy called Rory Stewart, who was in the leadership contest a couple of years ago. And he put it rather well. He said, look, she suffers from attention deficit disorder. She comes out with these funny little quips here and there, and she tries to sound intelligent, but she doesn't have the intellectual capacity to carry it off. She couldn't have a proper engagement with somebody if her life depended upon it. She's thrown Kamikaze Kwarteng under the bus. And he's going to have the shortest executive career since that Pope who got poisoned. I mean, really, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Any good that came out of his mini budget is more than going to be nullified by the massive increase that's going to come through in mortgage rates very shortly. So I think the UK economy is looking very, very stuffed. And, you know, how does that put it?
Yeah, look, don't tell us how you really feel, Chris. I think is what I said last time around as well. Nick, we were talking about this, I think, when everything blew up spectacularly last week. And when Curry was suggesting that because of the extreme negativity and unjustified and, you know, the negativity that kind of caught up, caught everything up, it would be a good occasion to have a look at some UK-listed companies that just got caught up indiscriminately in the wave of the market fallout. Would you say that is the correct view? Are there any shares that particularly appeal that maybe just got too sold off?
So, I mean, in a nutshell, I'd be cautiously looking. You know, this is against a backdrop of I think, you know, the UK government showing how precarious and how difficult it is to exit this the zero interest rate environment they've done. And if the last week or two is anything to go by, it shows other central banks that it's not going to be easy getting back to some sense of normality. So is there shares to look at in the UK? Possibly some of the South African dual listed, you know, maybe Investec's worth a look, Capco, possibly. But it just, you know, it just feels like when I'm dealing in the UK space, no disrespect to the UK, but funny enough, even though it's a G7 country, it almost feels speculative. You know, given what the bond, given what Yeah, given what the bonds have done, given what Sterling's done, 103 to 112, I mean, these moves are eye-watering. It also maybe to me, without sounding too alarmist, it certainly feels like there's stresses in the system. It's not broken, but bonds are not, 10-year notes are not meant to move 40 basis points unless they're Turkey. No, I think there's definitely going to be opportunities when the dust settles, but for now, I'd have to err on the point of caution. I mean, this is speculative, to say the least.
Although, I mean, you could take a lead from Investec, which is now buying back its own shares. They know. I mean, I don't know if you think that is a savvy move and something to, that anyone who's been considering Investec among the banks would look at this and think, okay, if they're going to buy back their shares, then maybe so should I. I don't know. Chris, what do you think?
Look, I think Nick is absolutely right. I think we have to sit back and wait for the next few weeks. The Bank of England made it abundantly clear that there's going to be a big rise in interest rates coming through. And I'm not talking about 25 or 50 basis points here. I'm talking about 300 or 400 basis points of that order. It's going to have to be meaningful. Now, what that's going to do to the UK economy, I don't know. It's going to be horrible. They've had it. Truss got one thing right. She said they've had it too good for too long in terms of low interest rates, and now that is about to change. So look, I think they're going to get a major shock. So in terms of trying to second guess what's going to look good in the markets in the UK, I think Nick's right. Let the dust settle a bit and then make more of an educated guess on this one.
Well, if you
I mean, maybe, sorry,
sorry,
do you
Nick.
have to say maybe what just to what Chris is saying, maybe the asset class to be looking at is maybe the currency. Maybe if there's a couple of hundred basis points of interest rate coming in sterling compared to what's happening in Europe, maybe the pound is worth a buy. I mean, just talking aloud here, but yeah, I mean, sorry to interrupt, but I think that might be the place to look, and therefore the financials might be the place to look as well.
I mean, it's more of a comment really than a question, but a viewer says, surely the negative reaction by the UK market to the unconventional measures its Chancellor announced to stimulate growth is a strong message to the many so-called local alternative economists we have here, who I suppose have gone fairly quiet in the last couple of years. I mean, talk of nationalizing the Reserve Bank, or what did A.S. Magashule call it? Quantity easing has kind of receded in the last 18 months. So moving on. Nick, just staying with you, there's a question on gold, and one of the viewers says, it seems to be fighting back. Can we trust this current rally in the price today?
So first and foremost, disclaimer, I'm not a gold bug, but if you look at what the gold price has done this year, I guess you could have to argue it's a relative outperformer. What has it done? 5-odd% year to date in dollars. So I suppose it's been holding out okay relative to everything else. But what concerns me a little bit is the strength of the dollar, which is obviously negative to gold and negative to commodities. So just watch out. The viewer needs to keep a very close eye on this dollar index. Also, I guess dollar's traditional sort of argument for holding it has been the sort of safe haven play in times of stress. I mean, you'd have to argue it hasn't really done that, has it? I mean, if given what the market's done, everything from the start of the war in Ukraine at the start of the year to the eruptions we've seen in the market the last couple of weeks, it hasn't really come to the fore. So I'm not anti-gold, and I do think there's possibly it might have its moment, but I would have thought it had its moment in the last year or two, and it hasn't. So that's the only thing that keeps me a little bit nervous. But then you know what? I mean, if we do get a little bit of rollover inflation numbers, and all of a sudden the dollar weakens, and maybe, yes, maybe. So yeah. So just going back to my very first point, keep an eye on this dollar. A little bit of weakening dollar, and yes, gold might have its moment, but it just concerns me that it hasn't. I guess is a long answer to the viewer.
Chris, I mean, what are the odds of the dollar weakening? Does it go to the next point that if the next inflation figure that you get out of the United States is much, I don't know, does it have to be much better or just slightly better than expected? And that you would see the dollar strength maybe unwind somewhat?
Look, I think at this point in time, it probably doesn't have to be an awful lot better. But having said that, you know, again, Nick has made this very good point about this kind of safe haven aspect of the dollar. Investors and speculators are flooding into the dollar at a rate of knots. And Jerome Powell is more than happy to keep on bumping up rates. And as long as that happens, and as long as that trajectory of higher interest rates in the States keeps on, you're going to have a higher dollar. The other thing is, I mean, where else do you look? Do you look at Europe? No. Do you look at the UK? No. So the dollar is going to keep on sucking that money in. So I think it's going to stay higher for longer. Traditionally, the dollar should have started weakening quite a long time ago, but it hasn't. Mm. So I think it's going to stay there for quite some time. But I think Nick is absolutely spot on. The moment it does, then that's when you start looking perhaps at the possibility of gold, which has been a profound disappointment up until now.
Yeah,
I think Chris has touched on to quite a point here worth mentioning, is that, yes, the dollar's been sort of, the sort of place of last resort to put your money. But if you're looking at the dollar, don't forget, as a dollar, if you're a currency trader, you have to sell something. You can't just buy the dollar. When you buy the dollar, you have to sell something against it. And I guess the question is, what do you sell? Like, what else do you put against the dollar? So therefore, the dollar literally, or if you're selling the dollar, if you don't like the dollar, what are you going to buy? Mm. Well, quite frankly, right now in this world environment, I don't think there's anywhere else to go, for now anyway, hence the dollar strength.
Yeah. Actually, Bloomberg Business Week has a fantastic cover. I don't know if you've seen it. It says, it's can't stop, won't stop. And it's just got dollar signs all over it.
All right, so we're going to short the dollar now, for sure.
Oh, really? Is that the kiss of death?
100%. You can mark it on the show Monday night.
It's like a Financial Mail cover when you tell you how wonderful a company is. You know it's all over, with no disrespect to the publication I write for. All right, so, just one last question maybe before we go to the break. Can you please ask the panel for the long-term 5+ years outlook for Aframat, should one buy at these levels, and also the panel's view on transaction capital for the medium term, which is 3 to 5 years. Chris, Aframat has long been one of your preferred picks. It's had a bit of a wobble over the last couple of months. Do you take that as an opportunity to buy, or do you think it's going to be a little bit trickier for Aframat for the foreseeable future?
Look, I would see that as buying opportunity. A couple of things. First of all, bear in mind that the iron ore price has been a little bit weak in recent weeks and months. So that hasn't been good for Aframat. But again, bear in mind that, you know, the kind of prices that they're getting, what it's costing to haul it out of the ground is very, very low in comparison to what they're getting, even at these relatively depressed prices. Secondly, you know, they're going into new areas. You know, they've got the Gravenhage prospect. They've got Glenover and a whole bunch of other stuff. They had the rights issue recently. Of course, that diluted things quite a bit. So I think, you know, they're doing things in a particularly typical Aframat way. They're storing up good stuff for the future. If you look historically at what Aframat has done over the years, if they hadn't done those acquisitions, they would have been in a relatively poor space, like most of the other construction companies. But they haven't. They've done very clever acquisitions. These current ones have been particularly big, and that's why we had the rights issue. And I think management has demonstrated an incredible depth of experience and knowledge. So I'm still very bullish on Aframat.
Yeah, and you could see the share price performance there has been weak in the last while. It's gone from 75 Rand or thereabouts to about 47 Rand at present. It was down 1.6% today. Chris's view is that this is a savvy management team, very good capital allocators. And I take what you say, Chris. They've consistently done deals that at the time you thought, this is an interesting deal. And then years down the line, they pay off spectacularly. Nick, do you share a similar sort of viewpoint for Aframat? And this viewer wanted a long-term perspective on it.
Yeah, so I do. I can't even give a varying view. I actually do. I think the management team is quality management team. You're spot on there. The way they allocate capital has been fantastic. Drag down, yes, with the general iron ore price as well, which is 20, $25 lower than its high. But given the fact that the rights issue's out the way, they've got cash on the balance sheet. Exactly what Chris was saying, the Glenova, that mine they're developing in Limpopo coming back on stream as well. I think it's more than enough to reflect in the share price. And I'm starting to pick up some quite bullish sort of rhetoric coming out of China as well, with them wanting to support the economy as they reopen back up, which means they are 70% of the usage of iron ore in the world. It all of a sudden, I think it'll add a little bit of a tailwind. So more than enough in the price. So for the viewer, 3, 4, 5 year view, I'd be a happy buyer at these
Okay.
levels.
Nick, sticking with you, what about transaction capital?
That's a little bit more of a tricky one, where you've got Afrimat to an underlying spot price that it mirrors and demand, etc. Transaction capital more exposed to the consumer, the lending, the price of your overnight rates, interest. I would have to say I'd be a little bit cautious. I do like the team. I think the management have been fantastic. That We Buy Cars was a great transaction, but you are heading into an environment of higher rates. The consumer, which they are directly exposed to on the lending side, is going to probably be under pressure, if not under pressure already. I think it is reflected in the share price, but don't expect a big bounce back. I think out of all the sort of interest rate sensitive plays out there on the JSE, Transaction Capital, even though it is a fantastically run business, they're going to have the things stacked up against them. Just be a little bit cautious where to find a bottom on this one.
Okay. Chris, do you take a similarly cautious approach? I mean, the thesis for the sake of the used car market, I mean, it was brilliant during the COVID period, when you couldn't get new stock and there was a chip shortage, but that sort of feels like it's unwound quite quickly. I mean, is that going to be a drag on them as well for the next while?
Yes, look, it has, but as Nick says, these are savvy operators. When you've got an interest rate environment like we've currently got all around the world, where you're rising interest rates, it's not good for these operators generally, and they can't buck that particular trend. The other thing that they're into, I haven't looked at them for a little while. I mean, they're still in the financing taxes as well, as if I'm not mistaken. So again, that does somewhat increase your risk profile as well, I would have thought. So yeah, look, they've done extraordinarily well. They know their market, but it's I would share Nick's concerns that in a rising interest rate environment, it is going to be tough.
Okay. Speaking of stocks that carry maybe a slightly more speculative bent, there's a question on Renergen. Could you ask the panel why its share price is going down so much? Nick, do you have any insight as to why the sort of froth is maybe dissipating?
Well, first and foremost, it's very expensive under any metrics. Like the story, we all like the story. It's a homegrown success story. They have started pumping that helium finally on their phase one. It's great news, all of the above. The next part is going to be more tricky though, because they have to, in the second phase, they're going to have to get that helium to people that need it. There's been a lot of talk about defense industry, about sending that helium to the space industry. That becomes a lot more tricky. I don't think we have enough time on the show to go into how the molecules evaporate and time, space, and all the rest of it. So the second part is going to be the hard part that team's going to have to figure out and convince the market. So first part, great. Second part, more tricky. And I suspect that at some point, to expand in that second leg, they're going to need to come to the market with some to raise some capital. Notwithstanding the fact, highly speculative, great story, like it. But at some point, valuation has to come into the mix, and it's going to be expensive. So why has it come off? I think there's a little bit of overhang. People are waiting for that announcement on a fundraise, I suspect. As I say, this is just, it's not the market news, it's just what I suspect might happen. But overall, yeah, just keep an eye out for that one. It is a great buy long term, but for now, there is a little bit of overhang.
Yeah, Chris, for the FM, actually, just going back to the Finance Ghost has written us his weekly column. I won't divulge what it's about, but price is everything. And that is true, isn't it? You've got to try and pick up shares at a decent price. If you overpay for them, it can be quite a while before you make any money back, especially if it's a company where you're not going to make that money back in dividends, and Renogen is not going to be that company for a while.
That's right. I mean, Renogen is, as Nick says, it's a highly speculative company, but you're buying it because you believe in management, you believe that they've got something a bit more unique than many other companies. But at the same time, it is going to take a long, long time to develop it, and it may or may not come right the way you perceive it. So therefore, and you're quite right, if it doesn't pay dividends, then that doesn't give you that feel-good factor, that comfort. So therefore, you know, the price is vitally important. You don't get that price right, then you could be treading water for a long time.
Mm. I mean, and this applies to blue chip shares too, make no mistake.
Absolutely.
And just in while we wait for more questions to come through, I mean, if you look at, let's look at Pick and Pay. I thought the trading update was quite interesting today, the way the share price rallied. But if you had bought Pick and Pay, in the last maybe 15 years, you could have waited a long time to make any money from it, even as the company was, starting to do the right things. Nick, what did you make of that trading update and the market reaction to it?
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging. I think it reiterated that the South African retail space is a lot better than I think all of us realized, certainly more than I thought was going on. I thought the consumer is a little bit under pressure, but clearly not. So I think it was actually quite encouraging. I think it was more encouraging as a market as a whole, given that the length and breadth of the LSM group that Pick and Pay deals with. So I thought that was very encouraging. Not my preferred choice in the sector, but overall encouraging. And it's been a little bit of a lagger, but in general, nice reaction if you're a shareholder for today anyway.
I mean, Pick and Pay has actually been quite volatile. You know, you could have picked it up earlier this year below 50 Rand. Now today, with today's move of 7%, it's almost 60 Rand. Chris, I don't know if you had a chance to look at that SENS announcement or if you have had a look at sort of retailers on the JSE. I was looking at a few shares, apparel retailers, on the back of Truist's announcement last week on the appointment of its two deputy CEOs. And if you look at it, I mean, over a 10-year period, the share price performance has been woeful.
Shocking.
I mean, Truist is down, I think, 49% over a decade. I don't know if that takes into account dividends. But within that period, there would have been moments when you could have bought it and then sold it and done okay. But just, if you kind of picked the timing wrong, you're not a very happy shareholder. And it goes for just about, I suppose, anything on the market.
No, you're absolutely right. All of the retailers, without exception, have taken a big knock in recent years. I mean, I looked at Truworth the other day. I mean, on a five-year view, it's negative, both in terms of turnover and in terms of HEPS. So it's only literally now, with this last set of results, that they've shown a bit of growth. And this was supposed to be Michael Mark's swan song. Well, maybe it won't be a swan song after all, because he's going to be part of a triumvirate that's going to lead the company. But that's another story for another time. So I think, but coming back to Pick and Pay, you know, that is a fascinating operation. I think it's a company where the share price has held up remarkably well, given what has actually happened to it over the years. You know, prior to Brasher coming along from Tesco, who was appointed back in 2013, this thing was floundering. It was in all sorts of trouble. And Brasher put it back on the right path, didn't do anything particularly difficult or tricky. He just got them back on an even keel. And now this guy, this Hollander, Pieter Boone, appears, on the face of it at least, to be doing something equally good for them, albeit in a somewhat different direction.
Yeah.
It looks to me in this trading update that they've actually recouped a lot of market share. Now, if that's the case, I don't know where they're taking it from. They're not taking it from Shoprite. They may be taking it from Woolies to a certain extent in the upper market areas.
Yeah, but it would be great for all of them if the pie were growing. I haven't left you very much time for stock picks. I'm terribly sorry. Nick, what are you looking at this evening?
Yeah, so just quickly then, looking at Sibanye-Stillwater, it's been under a lot of pressure recently. Finally, a bit of good news this morning with reaching an agreement with its wage discussions with its workers. So that's a bit of good news. Nice to expose, waiting for that weaker dollar. Nice bounce back in base metals today at 41, 42 rand a share. It should be closer to 50. So that's my short and sweet stock pick, Julieta.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Chris, how about you?
I've gone back to a good old favourite of mine, City Lodge. Their results came out last week, and I cannot believe that they're floundering at 370. It was a super set of results. We've got
Is it not because the
occupancies back at 50.
occupancies are not where they wanted to be? 38%, that's still sort of
Yeah,
below kind of a
so
critical level.
no, that was the year just passed on average. They're currently trading at 58%. That was month to date in September. So, they're well past a break even. They've repaid a lot of the debt. The debt is right down. And, the outlook is looking really very, very good indeed. So it evades me. It really does why this thing is languishing the way it is.
Okay. Well, if only OR Tambo International Airport could gussy itself up to welcome travelers and make us more look more as if we were open for business, then maybe it's got a fighting chance. Chris, Nick, I have to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us this evening. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, independent analyst. Chris Gilmore has also been on the show. Zanati will be back with Stockwatch tomorrow. Do have a good evening.